A warm welcome to all of you on this trying to be spring day in Winnipeg. But it's worse where I'm from. In Calgary, they got a huge dump of snow. I'm the United Church representative as co-chair on the Central Council for the Center for Christian Studies. And we're delighted to have a gathering of the students who are here in the learning circle, the education year, and the graduates and their families here, and all of you to make this journey. On behalf of the Central Council, I do welcome you, and I want to state that we're sorry that Jim Boyles isn't able to be with us. He lives in Toronto, and he's the Anakin rep as the co-chair of the Central Council. And he's not able to be here because of a family health concern, but he brings his good wishes for everyone. We'd like you to take note of all those before us who have reached special milestones, decades, as you'll find in the bulletin at the back. We also honor today a companion to the center, Mary Ellen Moore, and a special thanks to the staff team, and who includes now our new development and communications staff person, Mark DeRosier. All those who have gone before include those who have deceased and who are still alive. The family of Evie Gilmore, a graduate of, in 1994 from the Western Field Base program of the Diaconal Ministry program, asked that we remember them with sympathy. Evie Gilmore died this past week, and the memorial service is on Monday in Edmonton at Garnell United Church, and some of us knew her well. We specially acknowledge our guests who are here. Lauren Calvert from St. Andrew's College, the principal. Nora McMurtry, keeper of Jesse Soto, our Aboriginal training school for diaconal ministry and lay ministry. Bishop Don Phillips of this diocese, Rupert's Land Diocese. Chris Trott, Warden-elect of St. John's College here in Winnipeg. Judy Hare, our personnel conference staff for Manitoba and Northwest Ontario Conference of the United Church. We are pleased that you can all be here with us. Do stay for refreshments after this wonderful service of celebration, which our graduates have worked on planning the theme and the hymns and other reflection they'll be offering with the staff who also worked with them. Let us enjoy, and that the spirit of wonderful grace and love be with us all.
Sarah, you shall have a son.
You can't be serious. At my age?
Moses, I want you to lead the people out of Egypt.
But why me? Who am I to do this? How? What would I do? Who would listen to me?
Noah, build an ark of cypress wood. Take two of every creature.
Build what? Every creature? Really? Is this a joke?
Sell everything you own. Leave it all behind and follow me.
Wait a minute. Sell everything? Leave my family? Go where?
Come.
Let us worship the God who called us into the unexpected, the improbable, the ludicrous, and promises that we will not be alone.
I invite you now to join in singing, "Will You Come and Follow Me?" Some of you have it in your insert. Some of you will find it in Voices United, hymn number 567.
Let us pray. O God, who risks covenant with us and knows all of creation as beloved, may we, recognizing you in the familiar and the unexpected, respect your creation, see in you all relations, and bring healing to our troubled world. We pray in the name of the Spirit, steering in our midst. Amen.
Our first scripture today comes from the book of Jonah, chapter 1. Now the great word of God came to Jonah, son of Amittai, saying, "Go at once to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah set out to flee to Tarshish from the presence of God. He went down to Joppa and found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid his fare and went on board to go with them to Tarshish, away from the presence of God. But God hurled a great wind upon the sea, and such a mighty storm came up the sea that the ship threatened to break up. The sailors said to one another, "Come, let us cast lots so that we may know on whose accounts this calamity has come upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Then the men were even more afraid, and said to him, "What is this that you have done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of God, because he had told them so.
Our psalm is Psalm 139, printed in your bulletins. Our musician will play the refrain once, and we will sing it, and then we will begin to read.
God, you have searched me, you know me through and through.
O God, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar.
You discern my path and the places I rest. You are familiar with all my ways.
Before a word is on my tongue, you know it, O God, completely. You guard me from behind and before, and lay your hand upon me.
It is beyond my knowledge. It is a mystery. I cannot fathom it.
God, you have searched me. You know me through and through.
Where can I escape from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?
If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I bow down in the grave, you are even there.
If I take wing with the dawn and alight at the sea's farthest limits,
there also your hand will be guiding me, your powerful hand holding me fast.
If I say, let the darkness cover me and my day be turned to night,
even darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you.
God, you have searched me, you know me through and through.
It was you who formed my inward parts. You fashioned me in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wondrous are your works, that I know very well.
My frame was not hidden from you when I was being fashioned in secret, intricately woven in the mystery of clay.
Your eyes saw my substance taking shape. In your book, my every day was recorded. All my days were fashioned, even before they came to be.
God, you have searched me. You know me through and through.
How deep your designs are to me, O God. How great their number.
I try to count them, but they are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you.
Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Test me and know my thoughts.
Watch closely, lest I follow a path of error.
And guide me.
Search me, you know me through and through.
And our gospel reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 4. As Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fish for people." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. As he went from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, in the boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
I am called to a church that no longer matters, and I refuse to believe that decline means new opportunity. I realize this may be unexpected, but the kingdom of God is here is a lie, and getting ahead is crucial.
Everyone knows that loving your neighbor is not important. It is ludicrous to say that ministry is essential because making good money is more important than spiritual nurture.
I tell you this, science and faith cannot mix, and technology is our salvation.
I do not concede that the church is a place for countercultural leadership and I am a co-creator of the world. Even now, environmental destruction and human suffering are the norm.
No longer can it be said that people care about the earth and each other. It is evident that people no longer need God. It is foolish and improbable to believe that God is holy mystery, that is holy love. Unless I reverse my thinking.
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 Unless I reverse my thinking. God is holy mystery, that is holy love. It is foolish and improbable to believe that people no longer need God. It is evident that people care about the earth and each other.
No longer can it be said that environmental destruction and human suffering are the norm. Even now, I am a co-creator of the world, and the church is a place for countercultural leadership.
I do not concede that technology is our salvation and science and faith cannot mix.
I tell you this, spiritual nurture is more important than making good money. Ministry is essential because it is ludicrous to say that loving your neighbor is not important.
Everyone knows that getting ahead is crucial is a lie, and the kingdom of God is here. I realize this may be unexpected, but decline means new opportunity, and I refuse to believe that I am called to a church that no longer matters.
I refuse to believe I belong to a church that no longer matters.
I refuse to believe that I am called to a church that no longer matters.
I refuse to believe that I'm called to a church that no longer matters.
I refuse to believe that I'm called to a church that no longer matters. May it be so.
We invite you to join us in singing the next hymn, God is Passionate Life, which you will find in your song sheet.
I'd like to invite the graduating students to come back up to the front, please. If anyone had told these folks 10 years ago that they would be standing here today, the most common response would have been, "Say what? You can't be serious. Me? Mary, Mary Elizabeth, Deb, Kimiko, and Vicky were all immersed in their lives, parenting, doing research, working with numbers, involved in administration, in volunteer work, one with thoughts of church far from her mind. And yet, here they stand, having turned their lives upside down, leaving more than a few family members and friends reeling, ready to embark on the next steps of their journey, not knowing what direction that will lead, but ready nonetheless. To be surprised by God's call is well within the biblical tradition. Sarah, Noah, Moses, Elizabeth, Jonah, Mary, the disciples, Saul, the list goes on. To respond to that call required of our biblical ancestors courage, adaptability, faith, willingness to risk, to reorder priorities, to travel to places unknown, to explain the unexplainable. Such has also been required of Mary, Mary Elizabeth, Deb, Kimiko, and Vicky. To say yes to ministry, let alone diaconal ministry, seems ludicrous in these times. The institutional church is in decline. Job security is not assured. The ground is shifting beneath our feet. Much has been demanded of these women and those who share life with them, and much will continue to be demanded. For this improbable journey, they bring many gifts. Field placements in congregations, small town and urban core ministries, and community agencies have been sites of questioning and learning and have revealed in these folks gifts, skills, strength, and wisdom they could not have imagined when they started traveling on this road to ministry. Their global perspective experiences have taken them to Panama, Costa Rica, Ghana, and Venezuela. Memories of the people they encountered, stories of their engagement with struggle, testimony to hope, and expectation of solidarity will continue to be part of the cloud of witnesses which will accompany them wherever ministry leads. Their journey to this day has not always been easy, the path not always clear. During their time in the program, they have known joy and sadness, celebration and disappointment, moments of discouragement and occasions of doubt. But they have persevered. They have challenged one another, drawn strength from one another, laughed, cried, and prayed together. They have explored hard places and rejoiced in encounters of grace. They have befriended honest lament and embraced hope. They know well the importance of community to justice making and to faithful living. As CCS staff and as their families and friends, mentors and companions on the journey, we have all witnessed growth and transformation, deepening confidence, willing to risk what previously had seemed not only implausible but impossible. They know well the God of the improbable, the unimaginable, the God who suggests that we try fishing from the other side of the boat, that we share food and feed crowds, that we will keep company with all manner of unlikely people, that we take a deep breath and say, yes. The God who promises to be with us in times of tumult and in times of calm. Accompanied by this God, they are committed to engaging the challenges of faith in a difficult time and to working with others for healing and newness of life. Grounded in a vision of a new heaven and new earth, Mary Elizabeth, Vicky, Deb, Mary, and Kimiko move forward from this place and time with strength and hope. We celebrate with them, and we give thanks to God.
One of the persons who nominated Mary Ellen to be the 2011 Companion of the Center wrote that Mary Ellen is one of those unsung heroes who should not go without recognition. Today it's our privilege to address this situation by recognizing and singing the praises of this particular hero, Mary Ellen Moore. In the process, I hope we bring honor to all the saints of the Church who have lived their ministries with quiet strength and sincere dedication, with steady, sure commitment, and humble, confident courage. This is the way Mary Ellen has lived her life in the Church. She's a woman of easygoing leadership and welcoming hospitality. She brings a sense of humor and a positive, hopeful outlook. These gifts have been deeply appreciated. People love Mary Ellen. And we say thank you in a public forum today. Number one for Mary Ellen is her passion for and focus on pastoral care, on relationships, on listening. In all her dealings with others, she is compassionately present and real with people. In her roles as chaplain, pastor, ministry supporter, mentor for students, she is respectful and encouraging. A warm, caring, and patient person, she knows when to support and when to challenge, when to nurture, and when it's necessary to confront. Over the years, Mary Ellen has also proven herself as a skillful educator, leading rich discussion and Bible studies through thoughtful preparation and gentle facilitation, offering leadership development with a vision of empowerment, investing in camping with enthusiasm and energy. Throughout her ministry, Mary Ellen has also been an advocate for justice, accompanying those on the margins, those on the fringe, broadening her perspective with global study tours, bringing a critical eye to her social analysis, and in her early years, pioneering and facing the resistance in her role as a woman in ministry. Mary Ellen is not all work. She's a model of balance and self-care, keeping fit with walking and swimming, gardening with her green thumb, cuddling babies as a volunteer at family services, and participating in the Stephen Lewis Foundation Grandmother to Grandmother Project. Mary Ellen's history involves studies at Waterloo Lutheran University, the United Church Training School, and Emmanuel College. She has served in pastorates in Newfoundland, Ontario, and Alberta. Wherever Mary Ellen has found herself, she takes herself and others seriously. She's faced loss and grief with dignity and daring, and she's an authentic and honest with her own frustrations and anxieties. She's been able to discern what is needed, and she's teemed with a sense of mutuality, and she's been committed to the church as it is and as it could be. So, in the name of all of those who go about their work and business, their vocation and calling, their life and love, without expectation of reward or hoopla, let us sing the praises of this fine woman. Mary Ellen Moore, it's a delight to name you Companion of the Center for Christian Studies.
I am indeed grateful and honored and very humbled to be able to be recognized as a companion of the center today. What a privilege it is to be able to be here and to be able to celebrate also with the graduates and with their families. As you can make the transition and as you move on in your journey as well. I'm also thrilled to have Laura, a classmate and a good friend, with me today, and as well as her husband Jim from Ottawa. And that's been a good time for us, as Jim has done all the chauffeuring around, or else I'm not sure I would be able to know how to get from point A to point B in the weekend that's been here. Of course, it was Laura that began the whole process, and others would like to have been here, but are here in spirit as they have sent greetings to me. In the 60s, when it was Covenant College, and it wasn't the United Church Training School still at that time. I was at Covenant College time, we were, as deaconesses, very much in demand. In fact, we had ministers and congregations lined up at the center, or at Covenant College, wanting to know whether we were, where we were going to be living, because they wanted us to be part of pastoral ministry, congregational ministry at that time. And I was privileged to be able to work at Howard Park United Church in Toronto for 3 years while my husband then attended Emmanuel. It was later that he also recognized that he had missed out on some of his training at Emmanuel, and we came back to Toronto for a year so that he could also have 1 year at the center. I think at Covenant College at that time, we had great musicians that year, because I have a sensing that we might have been the only class that actually cut a record. And we had a record at that time cut. In fact, I was going through it when Karen Douglas was coming through, and I said, my family won't know what to do with this. You better take this and take it to the archives for the center. So I'm hoping it's somewhere in the archives now, kind of thing. Over the years, I have tried to always work in team ministry when it has been possible, and have tried to do the practice the leadership of service, and have been involved in social justice. And I must say that my life has been enriched greatly by having the opportunity to be a mentor or to work with the local group, with any of the diaconal students in the last few years. I've always appreciated the cutting edge the work that has been done and continues to be done at the center, and it has been a privilege to be a part of that, as I think we've pushed always on the boundaries and tried to help people see things in a different way. And I think that's partly to do with the excellent staff that we've had. When I was at Covenant College, it was Harriet Christie was our principal, Sarah Harrison was our field placement person, Eleanor Gamble was our Christian education, but all those people that have gone before that were walking in their footsteps. And so I say thank you to the staff even today in terms of their leadership and their dedication and commitment. And so I say thank you for this honor of joining 17 others, I guess, in terms of being a companion for the center, and I hope I can do justice to it. Thanks again.
Gracious God, you call us from the life of self-serving into the life of self-giving. We bring these gifts this day and we offer ourselves, all that we have been, all that we are, and all that we shall become, resolving to walk in your way, that the world may become your new community. Amen.
During our welcomes today, we missed Terry Hitachuk from the University of Winnipeg on our list of dignitaries who are in attendance, and we want to be sure that he is welcomed among us. Well, I'm here for an odd task. An odd task because I am doing a tribute to Megan McKenzie, who is the principal. Megan, in fact, was planning on being here today, and then her grandfather died. So she is out of town at the funeral for him. And so we regret that she is not here, but her message was, well, just go ahead and do it without me. So those of you who know Megan know that's her kind of style. And so I just ask you, those of you who can, to imagine Megan standing here beside me. In another way, it is also an odd situation in that Megan is principal until September 2011. I've been acting principal for just over a year, and before September, there may be a principal designate in the works as the new principal may be appointed before the end of Megan's term. So even though it's not the end of the time that Megan is principal, we do want to honor her when the community is gathered together. And we are, in fact, delighted to honor the ministry of Dr. Megan McKenzie as the principal of the Center for Christian Studies. When the search committee was looking for a new principal, it was rather intrigued by an application from a woman who had done many interesting things. Among other things, worked in collectives, done a PhD in Ireland, been a social activist, run a small business designing liturgical stoles. Her references described her as a person of energy and determination. And so Megan McKenzie was hired. It was a challenging job that Megan walked into. The Center for Christian Studies had been in Winnipeg for just over 10 years. Some things were working very well, and some patterns had developed that Megan thought and could see needed to have some changes. Deficit budgeting was a reality that she did not think was a good idea. Governance needed some changes to be effective. And as an agent of change, Megan served the Center for Christian Studies by asking questions, by shifting patterned expectations, by thinking outside the box. As in any organization, some of those changes were welcomed, and some perhaps were not. But, in fact, we are very grateful to Megan McKenzie for opening doors, for asking questions, and for being a change agent. We're also grateful for Megan's interest in and care for students. Megan loves to teach, to have opportunity to engage with students in their growth towards ministry. And I know that many of the students who are here today would like to say thank you to Megan for the leadership that she gave. We were sorry when Megan's time with CCS was cut short by her illness, and then the council received her resignation with regret. But all of us, as staff, as council, as students and friends of the Center for Christian Studies, join today in wishing Megan well. We hope that Megan, Jeremy, Micah, and Rid know many blessings in the years ahead. We hope she will have happy memories of the people she met through CCS, and that she will continue to be a friend of the center as she heads forward into her new life. Blessings, Megan.
It is my privilege to guide us through the prayers of the people. As part of that, there is a response. Your cue is God of the unexpected, God of love. And then if you would respond, please, with hear our prayer. I invite you to join your hearts and voices with mine in prayer. Loving God, Holy Presence, in the midst of this Lenten season, we observe a day of celebration, giving thanks for journeys now complete, for journeys about to begin, for a ministry born out of surprise or certainty. In the midst of the community that has gathered today in this place and extending far beyond these walls, God of the unexpected, God of love, hear our prayer. We give thanks this day for all who are part of the community that is the Center for Christian Studies. In particular today, we give thanks for Vicky, Deb, Kimiko, Mary, and Mary Elizabeth, who have completed their programs and are graduating. For Mary Ellen, the companion we have recognized. For the staff team and members of the Central Council. For the Anglican Church of Canada and the United Church of Canada, and for the many volunteers and supporters whose contributions make the ministry of CCS possible. In the midst of change and with sustaining hope, God of the unexpected, God of love. We offer prayers of concern for the various communities from which we have come. We pray for people across our country who make their living by fishing or farming. We pray for churches in rural areas, for their faithful witness in difficult times, and for the care that they offer to their communities. We pray for all who live in our towns and cities, and for urban and suburban churches, as they seek to offer healing to communities in crisis. In the midst of farms and ranches, and orchards, and fishing villages, and towns and cities, we encounter you, God of the unexpected, God of love. We gather in prayer, conscious that fear and hatred burned a holy book in Florida, and that a continent away in Afghanistan, peaceful protest becomes pandemonium, marked by bloodshed. Our hearts cry out for the people of Japan, for the people of the Ivory Coast, of Libya, of Syria, of Yemen, for all everywhere who have suffered irreparable loss, who live in fear, in grief, in disbelief, in despair. May they know the comfort of your loving embrace. Ignite in them a spark of hope. God of the unexpected, God of love, God, you call us forth in a myriad of ways to give expression to your spirit of love, of justice, of peace. May we be open to recognize the gentle nudge, the sudden pull, the quiet whisper, the noisy clamoring, and may we have the courage to respond in faith. God of the unexpected, God of love. Amen. So I invite us to continue with the next hymn, which is in your bulletin and I forgot to bring with me.
Just a couple of words before we move on. The final hymn in our service will be our sending forth, and Jamie's going to play it over once, and then we'll sing it through twice. So just so you know what's going to happen when we get to that stage. And I do invite everyone following that into the hall next door to have refreshments and to greet the graduates and our companion. We're grateful that St. George's Church has offered this space to us today, and we have been enjoying the space and will continue to do that. We're also grateful that our bishop, Bishop Don from the Diocese of Rupert's Land, is with us, and after I do the sending forth, Bishop Don is going to give us the blessing, and then we'll join in the sending forth hymn. We go forth with a blessing. With hope, we go with a vision of hope that the world will be transformed. We go with a vision of hope that we ourselves will be transformed. We go knowing the grace of God goes with us to protect us and to send us into those unexpected places of surprise.
Now may God the Creator, who formed you, continue to fashion you into God's perfect likeness. May God, who came to us in the person of Jesus to invite us into that great family, continue to make you secure as daughters and sons of God. And may God the Spirit, who breathed the new life into our nostrils, into our lives, continue to enliven you to eternal life. And the blessing of God, source of all being, Christ, eternal Word, and Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you this day and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.